Well, that doesn't have any pertinence to what we're talking about this morning, but it's true. And I thought it's always a good idea to watch Duck Dynasty at church. My name is Nick. I'm the youth pastor here at Timberlake. Pastor Ben will be back teaching next weekend. We're actually kicking off a brand new series in a couple weeks called Relationship Rehab. But this weekend, we're finishing up the series Breakthrough. And as we do, here's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the idea of stages of faith. You know, one of the most popular questions I get asked from students, really just from anyone, is, hey, how am I doing at the whole faith thing? You know, how am I doing with my walk with Jesus Christ? Maybe people have been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe it's not super long. But it's a really common question either way is how am I doing at this? And how can I get better? Here's what the Bible says. If you take your outline out of your program, we're going to start with the verse right there at the top. James 1, 2 through 4. Here's what it says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And really what this verse describes is the process of our faith growing. Maybe another way to say it is that there are stages to our faith developmentally. Like with anything, I don't have any kids, but there's a lot of research that goes into the life stages in childhood and adolescence. There's phases and stages of marriage. And in the same way, from a spiritual perspective, here's what we're going to be doing this weekend. Because, see, it's always easier to know where you want to go and how to get there if you're sort of able to get a bearing on where you're at. And so this weekend, we're going to have, this is sort of going to be a spiritual roadmap. And I hope what you'll find, and by no means is it an all-encompassing list, but I hope it'll be a good start and that you'll be able to identify yourself somewhere in the process. And also in that, here's what we're going to do is we're going to look at some potential roadblocks along the way. See, one of the hard parts about faith, about spirituality, about following Jesus Christ, is that faith doesn't necessarily fit into neat compartments in our lives, right? It's sort of this messy thing, and there can be areas where we can get stuck, sort of challenges to our faith, and sometimes that doesn't occur right in the middle of the stages. Sometimes it occurs more on the margins. And so this weekend, what we're also going to do is look at some potential roadblocks and just some practical advice that the Bible gives us on how to move forward in it. So the first stage, if you're following along, is non-faith. Now, I think it's pretty important to pause here and point out, look, if you're here this weekend and you find yourself at a phase of non-faith, that's awesome. Man, we're really, really glad that you're here. We hope you don't feel any pressure, any kind of obligation, anything like that. I think what you'll find is that Timberlake Church is a safe place to ask a lot of questions. You'll find people who are willing to walk through this process with you, and that's totally fine. In fact, for those of us here who have crossed the line of faith, what we would probably say is that it was a process. Maybe it was the process over the course of a week at an event or something like that. Maybe it was over the course of a few months, maybe through a season of a group or of a message series at church. Maybe even for some of us, it was a process that took place over several years. And so what the Bible makes clear is that God doesn't demand perfection from us right away, that God allows us to be in process, really what we're talking about this morning. And so with that, within these stages of faith, there are often phases that we go through as well, and so I didn't want to overload your notes. Would have been complex. Plus, I wanted Pastor Ben to be able to follow along, so I just wrote them down up here. Obviously, you can see calligraphy is my spiritual gift, and so here's sort of how stage one of non-faith can work in our lives. As we go through this process of self-rule, and sort of we are our own God here, not when it comes to self-worship, but really just we get to kind of make our own decisions. We are the ones who dictate right and wrong in our lives, and we go through a self-rule phase, but eventually we hit a point of crisis, and crisis can look really different for a lot of people. Maybe it's a medical emergency, an accident, something in a marriage, something in your family. But more often than not, especially for successful people, it's more of a crisis of meaning. You know, we get to a point, maybe you've achieved to a certain level in your workplace, even in your home, in your marriage, in your family, but you get to a point where you say, is there something more? You know, is there something more than this? I remember when I was graduating from high school, and maybe like some of you, maybe unlike some of you, I don't know, I sort of had a really solid, you know, spiritual foundation, but I was in transit, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do with the whole faith thing, And I was accepted into two, I was accepted at WSU and UW. I was actually leaning towards Washington State for their communications program. I realize some of you will never look at me the same. It's just like I confessed, you know, some unpardonable sin. But I was leaning there, and I remember just going through this process where, God, you know, what do you want from my life? And what's, I want my life to mean something. And sort of in this process, from self-rule to crisis to a crisis of meaning, we hit bottom. You know, we hit, and bottom looks... sorry, I was going to say bottom looks different for all of us. That's sort of awkward. Okay, but bottom can't, hitting bottom, this place where we hit bottom can look different for a lot of us. You know, it can be this place where basically what it forces into is a place where we pray this really simple and really sincere prayer where we say, God, I need you. I may not understand everything about you. I may not understand everything this entails, but we get to a place where we say, God, I need you. And it's at that point that we begin the process of moving from phase one to phase two. But sometimes there can be something that gets in the way. The potential roadblock here in stage one is embracing God's belief in us. You know, my guess is that on some level, for almost everyone here this weekend, you've acknowledged or you would acknowledge the existence of God. You may even verbalize it as, I believe in God. But I found that sometimes it's hard, and especially when it comes to moving from non-faith to faith, it's hard to embrace this idea that God believes in us. You know, I've told a lot of stories about my mom here at Timberlake, and as I was listening back through some of them, I kind of realized she kind of comes across sounding like this Korean religious dictator, you know, like someone in the Kim dynasty for Jesus. And but to tell you the truth, really honestly, my mom was always so encouraging for me. I remember one time when I was in fifth grade. My dad was in the military, so we moved around, and we lived in Hawaii at the time. And in Hawaii, on May 1st every year, maybe this is why their public school system is so good, they cancel school, and all of the classes do a dance. And it's called May Day. It's this big festival. And so I remember being in fifth grade, and I don't know why. Maybe they just wanted to obliterate whatever was left of fifth grader's self, you know, body image. But every year, the fifth grade boys would have to do the dance with no shirt on. And also, you know, there's no real easy way to come out and say this, but I was just sort of a bigger kid, you know. All my pants said Husky on them. Wasn't because I loved UW Athletics, you know. And so I was just the bigger kid, and I was really nervous about it. But my redeeming factor in all this was we got to make a sash. And so we got to make a sash. It was like this decorative piece for us. So no joke, I made my sash probably 6 to 8 inches wider than everyone else's. And it was more like a poncho, you know. And so I sort of managed to, like, you know, pin everything down on my body and just keep it from wiggling. And the dance we were doing was called the poi ball dance. I still remember. And it was like, you know, there would be this sort of cotton ball on the end of a rope. And as you can envision, I'm quite a dancer. So I was located up near the front. And I really am. And so I'm up there and I'm just, you know, dancing my heart out with the poi balls. And I'm getting so into it. In fact, I got so into it that the sash could no longer contain my fifth grade body. And the sash burst. It burst off of my body. And so everything is just, you know, flapping in the wind. And so, no joke. So I'm dancing there. And I started crying. It was very traumatic. And I look over and I see my mom. You know, I see my mom. And she's just like, yeah, you know, she's just like cheering me on. She's like taking photos. You know, she's documenting this traumatic event. And so... And afterward, though, she just came up to me and she was like, you did so good. And can I tell you something this morning? That really, that's just in a really small way, that describes the way that God feels about you. And maybe this weekend, you have to hear it from a 25-year-old youth pastor, but I hope you will. Can I just tell you, God believes in you. Man, God believes in you so much. Like we sang about this morning, maybe another way to say it is, God is for you. God is in your corner. And when it comes to this this area of our life of moving from non-faith to faith, this can be a big challenge of saying, not that I believe in God, but why would God want someone like me? You know, God wouldn't want me after the things I've done. And if he really knew, but let me tell you this morning, he does. I mean, God believes in you. And so moving from that, phase of non-faith to faith, once we cross that line, here's what happens is we hit stage two, and that's called elementary faith. And for those of us who have, man, do you remember taking this step? You know, do you remember the incredible sense of security that comes with it? You know, when you take this step, here's what we discover is that we're not alone in the universe, that there's a great peace, that there's security, that there's something bigger than us, and there's purpose, and we don't have to do life alone. And I'm not the one who has to define right or wrong, and it can be incredibly liberating. And we move from questions of purpose and meaning, and we discover that there really is a God, that there really is truth, and that there's a way to live life. And we even notice that this extends beyond simply believing in God. In stage two, here's what we learn in elementary faith. We learn disciplines, right? We learn things like, well, if I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, maybe I should go to church a little more often. You know, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I should get into a growth group, or I should begin serving in some way. And we learn disciplines, and we also learn formulas, right? We learn that if I follow God's way of doing things in my finances, we learn that God has a plan for my finances. God has a plan for my marriage. God has some really practical and tangible advice on how I should lead my family. And I remember watching my dad walk through this phase. I remember my dad came to be a follower of Christ when I was a little kid. And I just remember the excitement and the passion sort of in his own way that came in this process. And I remember it affected him. It didn't just affect him, though. It affected our whole family. And can I just say something here as well? That if you're here and you're in this stage of elementary faith, you know, you sort of recently crossed the line to become a follower of Christ, here's what I would encourage you to do, is to go as deep as you can. You know, part of the reason we push growth groups so much, it's not a timeshare, no one has a quota. We just want you to begin to grow in your faith. You know, we have groups kicking off towards the end of this month. We have things like a membership class, which we call 101. We have a 201 class. We have foundations courses. And all these things, what they're designed to do is if you're here and you're at stage two and you're just a kind of a beginner at this, we want to help get some resources in your hand. Because what you're doing at this phase of your faith is you're building a foundation. You're establishing things that you believe, establishing, finding out what God says about questions you may have. So that's what I would encourage you to do is if you're here and you're at stage two, man, go as deep as you can. Maybe even this fall, you'll do something in your faith like Pastor Ben even prayed this morning. You'll do something in your faith that you've never done, and you'll see it begin to create foundation in your life. Here's a potential roadblock, though, in this, is in phase two, we can get stuck here and become weird. It's a big spiritual theological word. We can get stuck here and we can get sort of begin to get weird. Here's what the Bible says. It gives us really a great analogy of what spiritual maturity in that process is like. In 1 Corinthians 13:11, here's what it says, is when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the childhood behind me. And so here's the thing in this, is it's really easy to sort of get stuck in this phase, you know, to sort of get stuck in the place where we're so excited and we have all this passion. And if it's not redirected, if we never grow out of it, and we're going to look at stage three in just a sec, if we never grow out of it, we can begin to become weird and we can begin to become, you know, almost abrasive to the people around us. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15, really the same concept. Here's what it says. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. But you know, the jump at this point in our spiritual journey, on the spiritual roadmap, at this point, the jump from stage two to stage three is unique. It's unlike any other step. See, it's more about, it's not something that we make a decision to do. It's more about how we respond to it. And here's number three, is life experience, the formulas fail. Is in stage three of our faith, the formulas can begin to fail us. I remember when I was in my third year of Bible college in that fall, I had been learning stuff for a few years, and I thought, you know what? You know, I was sort of brimming with like all this passion, ideology. I thought, you know what? I'm gonna reach some people for Jesus. You know, I thought I need to get around people who don't know Jesus Christ. So I decided I'm gonna get a job. So I got a job at a restaurant called The Melting Pot in Bellevue, providing the ideal 4-course fondue experience. And I got a job there. And I still remember walking in that very first day. And I remember I looked over and there was, you know, the bartender was getting the day ready, getting the evening ready. And I thought to myself, like, oh my gosh, you know, like, this guy is going to come to know Jesus. Yes, you know, and I literally remember thinking in there, and people are just going to be overwhelmed by my charisma, by my wit, fresh take on spirituality. We'll empty this place out. You know, all these people will come to know Jesus Christ. But at the end of even that first week of work, I'm sure you can see where I'm going. See, at the end of that first week, I quickly realized this is going to be a little harder than I thought. And in that process, I made some good friends along the way, had some significant conversations. But what happens at this stage of our faith is the things that we learned in stage two, right? These formulas and strategies and disciplines, life experience comes alongside them, and they let us down. And this can be an incredibly painful and incredibly challenging place. Is when the formulas fail, we begin to ask questions, and here's what happens, is we begin to second guess, man, was what happened in stage two, was that real? You know, did God really do something in my life? Maybe for you, maybe you're doing everything right in your marriage. You know, you're even following God's principles from it. You came to our marriage and relationship series here at church, and the spouse went sideways. Maybe you dedicated your child to God, and you made sure they were plugged in here. You made sure they were doing everything like they should, and you had a child go sideways on you. Maybe, you know, the business fails. Maybe the company you work for had layoffs, and it was something you never expected. And maybe you were even sharing Jesus in your workplace. And what happens is, when life experience comes alongside, what happens, inevitably, formulas will fail, and we have questions, and we second guess, and we can begin to doubt. And that's the potential roadblock there, is setbacks cause us to question whether or not stage two was real. You know, to be really transparent with you this morning, in a lot of ways, this is sort of where I find myself. You know, some of you may know, some of you may not, but this past week was a pretty tough week here at church. Right before last weekend, one of the students in our student ministry took his own life, and so we've been walking through that process with the family. And to be honest, even though, you know, I work at a church, I went through this week. You know, I was thinking, God, how does something like this happen? You know, God, this is so hard. This is so challenging. God, I don't understand what's going on here. And there's a story in the Bible where Israel as a nation is in this place called the desert. You know, and that maybe could be, if you are into being artsy, you could categorize this phase as the desert of your faith. But in Exodus 16:4, here's what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. Proof that God is against no-carb eating plans. And then he says, the people are to go out each day. Would you underline that? Would you underline each day and gather enough for that day? You know, and sometimes, right when you're in the middle of this stage, oftentimes this is where God, I think you'll find God meets you the most. And sometimes he doesn't give you a lot of answers. He doesn't give you a really clear direction and a clear path. But sometimes he just sustains you enough for that day. And so, in this phase, there's sort of a unique danger, is if we don't allow it to move us forward, because this stage in our faith is something that inevitably we all encounter. You know, it's not something we have to take a step forward to. It's more of how we react when our formulas fail. And there's a unique danger here, I think, at this stage of faith, in stage three, is we can get stuck here. If we don't allow it to move us forward, what can begin to happen is we get sort of on a rotating cycle between stages two and three, and maybe even stage one in our faith, where we trust Jesus, we learn some good things, something challenging happens, and it moves us back to stage two, or maybe even all the way back to stage one. And we're at a place where we just go through this process. This week, as I was sort of getting ready to share, you know, I knew I was going to be teaching because it's Labor Day, and so I had some time to think, and I came across this weekend, and I don't know if you've seen this, actually a reissue from Time Magazine, a special they did on Mother Teresa, someone who, for me, has always been, you know, a hero in the faith, someone that I've always looked to and said, man, if I could just love people in that way and show compassion in Jesus' name for people, that would be amazing. But it's sort of interesting that a few years ago, you may remember this, in 2007, they discovered and released some of Mother Teresa's journals. And what was interesting about them, really interesting for a lot of people, was Mother Teresa, she recorded a lot of her struggle you know, about her faith. A lot of questions that she had. A lot of point where she was really probably right in the middle of this, and she's saying, okay, God, I know that you're good, and I know that this is what you've said, but why do I experience these things? You know, why is there so much pain and hurt in the things I see for her life on a day-to-day basis? But here's what begins to happen, I think, and we'll pick up her story in just a sec. But if we allow them, if we allow these experiences to move us forward, not keep us stuck, here's what happens. Number four is faith surpasses security and certainty. Faith surpasses security and certainty. At this fourth stage of faith, which I titled vetted faith, what begins to happen is we relearn some of the things that we learned in stage two. But we learn them. We learn truth, God's truth and love. Here's how Jesus says it. You know, there's a story where Jesus heals someone, and it's on the Sabbath when people aren't supposed to heal. And Jesus says, well, but if your donkey was in a ditch, you would get it out, right? In the same way, if you're here and your child was in the hospital, you would skip church, you know? And sort of what we do is we relearn some of the things that we learned in stage two. If we allow these hard life experiences, the challenges to move us forward, we relearn them in love, and inevitably we get to a place where faith and trust in God trump certainty, where they're more important than the security and certainty that come from following Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And what makes faith so exciting at stage two, at the elementary faith stage, is see, it's so invigorating and exciting to learn all of these things. And really, honestly, because what comes with that is a lot of security and a lot of certainty in that I know God's real, I know that he loves me. But if you fast forward to this stage of faith, here's what happens is you still know and you still believe in that, but you say, even though there are things I don't understand, even though there are things that I'm having a hard time with, God, I still trust you. You know, God, I still know that you're good, and faith and trust become more important than the security and certainty. And we get to a place where we're able to say this in John 14:27. Here's what it says. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You know, picking back up a little bit of Mother Teresa's story, what I found so interesting was that in these journals, they date all the way up almost to the time of her death. And really, at the hardest parts, here are some of the things she records. She says, in one of her journal entries, she says, loneliness is the most terrible form of poverty. And she also says, as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great. I look, but I don't see. I listen, I don't hear. The tongue moves in prayer, but does not speak. Pray for me. And she's writing these things really as she's building this incredible global ministry. In fact, 1 million people on the earth not have been served, but they serve as a part of Mother Teresa's organization. They serve people in Jesus' name, and it's this amazing thing. And it's interesting that in the darkest times of her life are when she's doing some of the most significant ministry. And as a part of this, there were a lot of skeptics who came forward, you know, and they said, well, you know, did Mother Teresa even really have a faith? And a lot of people brought up questions about, well, it seems like here she's saying, you know, I don't know God, or I don't believe if God's really there, and all these things. But do you know what, honestly, to be honest with you this morning, do you know what I think Mother Teresa had, and we all can have, is just a very normal and a very real faith. That in spite of some of these things, I think she was able to just fall back on God. I accept your peace. God, when you say that you're going to give me peace, I'm going to accept that. You know, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is described as the comforter. And sometimes comfort is irrational. You know, but I think what God does is he offers that to you if you find yourself here. Well, this year, here's the key question. And I don't mean for it to be trite or too simple or anything like that, but it's really, just to be honest with yourself, here's the key question. How can I move forward in my faith this year? Is how can I move forward this year in my faith? You know, as the school year kicks off, maybe it kicked off last week or this week for many of us, whether or not you're a high school student, college student, beyond, as we get back into routine, here would just be a question that I would have for you, is how can I take a next step in my faith? Maybe for you, this weekend you're here and you're at a place of non-faith and you're just trying to figure this whole thing out and you're trying to figure out, well, you know, do I really believe this? Here's what I would encourage you to do this year is just be open to what God has for you. Man, just to be open that maybe this is true and maybe God believes in me. Maybe you're here and you're at an elementary phase. Maybe this year, what you do is you'd say, I'm gonna soak up as much as I can. I'm gonna take a step towards a growth group. I'm gonna make that a priority in my family. I'm gonna make that a priority in my schedule to begin to absorb and build this foundation in my life. Maybe you're here and it's you're at a particularly difficult and painful place. And listen, I know that's real. You know, I honestly know what that's like this week. Maybe you're here though, and you'd say, God, I'm not gonna get stuck here, but I'm gonna allow this experience to transform me. And to get to a point where you find yourself here that, God, I believe you. I believe what you said, even though I don't understand everything. Or maybe you're here and you're already at this fourth stage of faith. You know, you've been following Jesus for a while. Here's what I'd encourage you to do. Would you help some people along the way? You know, would you come alongside some people who might not quite be where you're at and say, no, it's going to be okay. You know, God still has a plan. God's still good. And so here's my hope for, not just for you or for me, but really for us as a church, is that we would find ourselves in a place at this time next year, looking ahead to the 2013 and 14 school year, we'd find ourselves at a place where we've moved forward in our faith, where we're not still at the same spot. Will you pray with me? Father, God, this morning, Lord, I thank you so much that you're a God who allows for process in our lives, and that you're a God who allows us to not have all the answers and not have everything figured out and not have to be perfect. And Lord, I would pray just for everyone here, God, that wherever they're at in their life and in their faith, God, whether it's whether they need to know that you believe in them, not just that we believe in you, whether it's learning and soaking up right now, maybe there's some of us here this morning that are at a place of significant and real pain. And Lord, what I would ask you to do is in that season, that maybe all they need, God, is for you just to give them enough sustenance for one day. And just to take it a day at a time. God, I'd ask that you do that. And Lord, for those of us who have become mature in our faith, Lord, I'd ask that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to demonstrate our maturity. God, in the way that we serve, in the way that we come alongside those who aren't quite there yet. Lord, most of all, God, we fall back on your son, Jesus, and what he's done for us. God, and we thank you for that. Thank you that regardless of where we're at in the journey, we can always have hope in you. That regardless of how complex and maybe difficult or painful or confusing things can be, God, we know that you're good because you sent your son to die for us on a cross. And Lord, for any of us here who just need to be reminded of that, not intellectually, but even emotionally, Lord, I'd ask that you do that. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the things that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.